This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome, Caps fans, to another edition of the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And, it's another edition of the our Armchair GM special. And hopefully you caught the edition that I just posted earlier this morning. Out there, it is the last day of July. Hope everybody is still enjoying their summertime. I didn't sing this time because I got some complaints. we're doing round two of our Armchair GM segments. It's kind of hoping to get a group, but we're doing a one of a time thing, which is fine by me. Everybody gets their moment in the spotlight, which is what I like here. It's what we try to do here at the Triple P. Get everybody, all our Caps fans, our loyal listeners, their time on the microphone, give their opinion. So this week, this edition rather, we have a young old favorite, Cheryl Ann Forster, C4 as I like to call her, because she's just blowing up with information. And so she's on with us this week. Cheryl Ann, how you doing today?
I am doing well. It is good to be back in the saddle, so to speak. Yep, and hopefully I can blow up y'all's minds with whatever I can come up with today.
Absolutely. calling at us from live from Myersville, Maryland. And okay, so yeah, you and I, you've been itching to get on with us and discuss your thoughts about the goings on, the wheelings and dealings. So let's just get right into it without any further ado. We talked about this before. You wanted to go over the new signings first, all the newer guys that are now on the team. I asked Jake this on the last episode, Jacob Michael, in our first go around. How would you assess the overall performance of the front office?
Overall, based on what I know about the guys that we brought on and the guys we've re-signed, I would say probably a solid B minus, probably a solid B. I don't know if I'd go as high as he did on some of these guys, but
if I remember right, Jacob gave the front office a B minus because
okay,
of
so maybe I'm a little higher than him.
But. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we in the same ballpark though. Yeah, because
a good solid B, I think.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Concerns. You know, we'll start with everybody's favorite position these days, goalie.
Might as well.
And I'm going to make a very, very probably controversial, maybe even unpopular comment. I would have liked to have been able to keep Sammy. I understand why they didn't. Business, money, blah, blah. But I really would have liked them to keep Sammy, because I do think Kemper has the discipline and the focus and the experience to rein him in and keep him focused. That was Sammy's biggest problem last year. You could see it on, I said it before, I said it again. You've heard me say it in varying conversations. There were times, I swear to you, when the game, if the game was too at the other end of the ice for too long, Sammy was there picking daisies. And all of a sudden he would look up and here comes the puck and he's like, oh shit, I got to do something. and you guys touched on this. I listened to your conversation with Jacob earlier, and you know, Sammy was very undisciplined. He lacked the focus. And I really think Kemper would have been a steadying force for him. Now, having said that, I do like what I did do some research on Lindgren, and I do like what I see, and he did very well. I believe he came from St. Louis, correct?
Yes. Yes, he did.
And he did well there, and I think he is going to be a good, solid backup for Kemper. My concerns with Kemper, though, well, he is 32, so he's kind of inching toward that peak. So he's a little old for my taste in goalie. So he's inching towards that peak. I don't think he's over it yet. But again, and you guys talked about it again, he had an incredibly good defense in front of him in Colorado. And I'm not sure we have that level of defense, even with the guys we've picked up. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't care who you have in goal. If you don't have a good, solid defense in front of you, it's not going to matter. So I'm kind of in a wait-and-see mode there. I'm excited about Kemper. I think he is a very good goalie, but I do have concerns. Mostly because of our current defense and his age. But I think with Lindgren backing him up, we'll be okay. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I don't think I really don't think you're going to see Lindgren get in more than, say, I would be very surprised if Lindgren starts or plays overall more than, say, 20, 25 games. I would be very surprised.
He shouldn't have to. The only reason we had the situation we did with Sammy and Vanacek was Laviolette refused to say, okay, you're my number one guy and I'm sticking with you. And that's the only reason we had the situation we had. And I think that's part of the reason neither one of them developed the way they could. I think it, and honestly, I think this is ultimately, it might ultimately bite us in the ass, him not picking a number one between the two of them, because I do believe Sammy is slated to be the number one up in Toronto, right?
I'm not real sure. I haven't paid attention to all of that, but and okay. not to counter your argument, just stating a fact here, but it the tone of the management when they were pressed for a reasoning as to why everything played out the way it did with both goalies, they made it out to sound like, well, we gave them a chance for each of them, gave each of them a chance to earn outright the number one, and neither one of them really took it over and made it their own. So
I see that argument, but I don't completely agree with it.
Yeah, you
could
say
if they were truly being given a chance, they would have been, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, allowed to lose two or three games in a row before getting replaced. Most of the time, he was slipping them back and forth. They may have lost one or two games. And then, okay, you didn't do, you know, I think it's, but again, that's a matter of perception, I think. Some people are going to see that, oh, well, he had two chances. He didn't prove himself in those two chances. Well, we're going to put the other guy in. Oh, he didn't prove himself. Well, we're going to put the other guy in. So, again, I see the argument. I disagree with it.
Yeah, I'm not saying I buy management's rationale, that rationale. I agree with you. I say if you are making the decisions and plugging the cooking the meal, plugging the people in and out of the lineup, then it's your call to say, okay, I'm putting you in this position to take it over and run with it. You be the guy and mm-hmm. let them go with it. Not, okay, well, you're playing for the starting job. That's called, you want to do something like that. It's called training camp where you do that.
So I just hope to God, I just hope to God Laviolette does not do the same thing with Kemper and Lindgren. I don't think he will, only because these guys are experienced. I think, I still stand by my statements earlier. Vanacek and Sammy came into the league during COVID. Neither one of them played a full season until the 2021-2022 season. Neither one of them was given a chance to even attempt to play 42 games, much or 82 games or whatever. So they came into the league at a very, very difficult time. And I still think they both have the potential to be very, very good goalies. I think, Sammy, well, anyway, we don't have to keep talking about it. It's over. It's done with. But I do think we do have a much better situation now because we do have a number one goalie. And I think that in itself is an improvement. So I'm happy with what we did there. I'm sad to see Sammy and Vanacek go. But at the end of the day, I think we are in a better spot in the goalie position now.
Right.
Now, whether the defense can support it is a different issue.
Well, okay. So let's kind of segue into that, into the skaters. Doesn't look like a whole lot was done to retool the back line, the defense at all. Definitely the forward lines, but not the defense. What do you think of the other signings?
Like you guys were saying, Gustafson, the jury is so far out on him right now. Like you said, he's fairly young, right?
He's actually 30. He's actually 30.
Is he 30?
Hasn't played a lot, but he's 30.
Okay, well, considering my age, he's young. He's still young. But, okay, so he's 30. So, jury is out on him. I didn't watch him much. I don't know a whole lot about him. But, again, looking at, where he came from, maybe given the environment he's coming into, maybe he'll do better. But we'll have to wait and see. That was the only defensive move we made.
That was pretty much it. Now,
We did re-sign Matt Irwin,
Re-signed Matt Irwin. We'll discuss that later when we get to the re-signings. But we did manage to keep him. So there's some familiarity there.
Right.
But other than that, there really wasn't much done with the blue liners.
That's my concerns right now. That's probably my biggest concern, is we did not make a lot of changes on defense. And unless some miracle happens and Carlson decides he's actually going to play defense and pick up the pace a little bit.
I seriously doubt that. Schultz is gone. I forget who he signed with, but he's definitely gone.
Liked him. He did well for us, I think.
Yeah, I don't think
he was a solid D-man.
I thought he was pretty solid. The only problem with him was that it was not going to be sustainable with him playing bottom 6 minutes and paying him $4 million a year. That just wasn't sustainable.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Again, a business. It's the same thing that happened with $3.5 million for a backup is a lot of money. I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. I think Kemper anyway, we've moved on. Like you guys are talking about Strom, we need somebody with good face-off percentage. We need help with the face-off, and if he's got good face-off percentage, I think he's going to be okay. I don't know if I would put him on second line yet. I don't know enough about him, but I don't think McMichael is a second line center.
So, no, and I avoided mentioning his name on purpose because I didn't want to get into a protracted discussion about
him. No, we're not.
But yeah, I'll leave it at that and say I agree with you on that front.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking, you know, I think Strome has the potential to be a second sign center given the face-off percentage he has, and I did look at that, and that, you know, and we need all the help we can get. And I also agree that I really don't see Backstrom coming back this year at all, honestly. Hopefully next year. I mean, it'd be nice to see him come back, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, and that's why honestly, I thought this was probably the best move because there was other than the goalie situation mentioned this last episode, the second line center slot was probably the most obvious hole that needed and filling.
Yeah, and all in all, I think that's a good move. I think Strome will do okay there. A lot's going to depend on who they put on the wing, but actually, I'm looking at the depth chart, and they have Dylan. Yeah, Kuzi, Dylan. Okay, never mind. I'm looking. Yeah, they've got Dylan Strome on the second line. Connor Brown. Oh, that's left wing. Sorry. They've got, where do they even have? Interesting. I don't even see. Oh, Strome. Okay, so the depth chart I'm looking at online, they've got at center, they've got Kuzi, Strome, and then Eller, Dowd, Leeson, and Backstrom for center. So I think that's a pretty decent rendering. But you've got now three pretty good face-off guys at center. So you've got three pretty solid centers. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be on the fourth line center.
I would agree. No, Dowd's probably going to stay on the fourth line, I think.
Yeah, he needs to. Yeah.
The big question that's going to have to be answered over the course of the season is going to be the third line center.
Hmm. Yeah, either Leeson or Eller. They'll probably flip back.
Leeson, Eller, or McMichael.
They've got McMichael on the wing. They've got him listed third line left wing.
Yeah, so we've talked about this, and that's not where he should be.
No. He is a much better center. He's not great, but he's better.
Yeah, he's much better there, but yeah, I think they're still trying to figure out what they're doing there, but at least they've got options. So you mentioned him. You mentioned him a little bit just now. What did you think of the trade for Connor Brown?
Why?
Yeah.
and here's what's really interesting. This depth chart I'm looking at has for left wing, Ovi on the first line, our starter, Brown on the second line, Sherry, McMichael, Borgstrom, and Haglin.
Wait. You're kidding, right? They've got Connor Brown on the second line as the left wing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear God.
Now, hold on. Probable for start of season. So I don't know what that means. But apparently he might have an injury.
Well, I mean, if he's got an injury, then all the more reason. help me out here. Why?
I don't know. I mean, seriously, from what I have seen on him, he's an AHL player. I mean,
exactly.
I could see him maybe as filler, if you know, on maybe the third line, but certainly not second line. Unless they see something we don't.
The man is a career third liner.
Yeah.
Has never played above the third line in his whole professional career.
Right.
I'm looking up his profile on Hockey Reference. Mm-hmm. Okay, on a really dog ass Ottawa team the last three seasons. His time on ice average, okay, and this surprises me, but actually, you know, it shouldn't, but it at the same time, it does surprise me. But his time on ice for his three seasons in Ottawa, 2007, yeah. 1815, and 2003.
Mm-hmm. Broken jaw.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
So our management traded a second round pick.
So this article was printed on January 14th. He was injured prior to a 4-1 win in Calgary, but played the game, scored a goal.
Okay, well that was six.
With an assist, but
that was 6 months ago. So he should be healed by now.
Right. Well, one would think, right? So, but anyway. But yeah, it says probable. So unless there's something that they're not disclosing, because it does say when you hover over the little thing, it says undisclosed injury.
Well,
probable for start of season.
Okay, so I was telling Jake this, and when he asked me, because he couldn't find a whole lot on this guy either, because but we were trying to figure out why, and I said, well, from what I was hearing, the quote-unquote evaluations by some of my fellow fans were the whispers I was hearing was, oh, he'll do what Tom Wilson was doing on the penalty kill, and he's also got the some flashes of TJ Oshie like ability.
No.
And I'm like,
I was talking,
what?
Yeah, no, I was talking to a certain friend who we both know, whose name I will not mention, about this when it happened, and he was just like, he was like you, he's like, what the fuck were they thinking?
Yeah.
So and this is someone who like really knows his shit.
I think without being too hyperbolic about this, I think this is easily going to go down, unless a miracle happens, this is easily going to go down as the absolute worst move of this offseason. I think this guy is going to be, I don't know if he's going to be a liability, but he's certainly not going to be able. This is pretty much what I told Jake. We bought a $3.6 million Band-Aid, a very expensive Band-Aid for Tom Wilson being out the first 3.5 months of the season.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's like another mutual friend of ours said, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage or something, or was it a Band-Aid on an aneurysm?
I remember that. And right after this trade was made, I was in full agreement with her when she said that.
She and I are gonna do one of those, figure out how to get down there and knock some sense into these guys, but.
That was easily the most head scratching, head shaking. Yeah. I don't know.
That's the biggest reason I give them a B right now. The re-signing of Mojo is a head scratcher.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered the new guys. Let's get to the re-signings now.
Yeah, I mean, they've got him listed as third or fourth line on the right wing, Mojo. I don't think this is fourth line at all. This isn't bad as a third line.
This isn't bad as Connor Brown, but yeah, I got the same question. Why?
Yeah, there was a reason we traded him in 2017. I have no idea why they even brought him back to start with.
Yeah, there was. He wasn't getting the job done, and he wasn't, you know.
I guess they kind of figured he would play more defense than Sprong, but we didn't need Sprong to play defense as much. We needed his speed and his shot. So, that's another head scratcher.
Yeah.
I like Mojo. He's a great guy. I just don't think he fits in the system right now.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And I think, again, part of management's rationale for him being re-signed was, oh, well, he's familiar with the system. He knows a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If I recall, that was your reasoning for hiring the assistant coach and making him the head coach. How did that work out?
Yeah, that didn't work out at all. Yeah, that
we're definitely going to not mention that guy's name because
no.
If we do, I will.
Another he who shall not be named.
Yeah, I will. There will be some sort of physical violence.
We can't have that.
No, I get why they kept him. I mean, he's economical, which is a nice way of saying mm-hmm. cheap. I'm with you there. I don't know why. Yeah, he's another Band-Aid. I don't know why they kept him. They could have. There's probably a dozen or so bottom six forwards they could have gotten out there, younger, faster, cheaper, more efficient.
Right. Well, the other thing is we still have Snively in the wings.
Right.
He should be coming back.
I think so.
They have him listed on the depth chart. They have him on the depth chart.
Good. I would hope so. I think he's earned it.
He
deserves a long look.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Borgstrom. Do you?
No, not really. Other than he got a little bit of time in Chicago. They signed him to the two-way contract, so you're probably going to see him.
They got him as third or fourth line at left wing. So.
Yeah, you're probably going to see him mostly in Hershey this year. He's probably going to get some call-ups. Opinion. Yeah, a depth signing,
yeah.
Exactly.
He's a filler.
Yeah.
I would like to see Snively back up. And I really think Snively is more second line than Brown. I think Brown should be moved down to the third line, but that's just me.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if it stays like that. But I think they really think this guy is going to replace Tom Wilson. And I would like to know what psychotropic drug they are taking to make them think that, because that sounds like one hell of a trip to me.
No, there's nobody that can replace Tom Wilson. I'm sorry.
No, there's not. I don't understand why they think this guy is going to do it. And if he gets more than 15 minutes a night, I will be very surprised. Yeah. And Jake brought up the fact that he is terrible on faceoffs, which
that's
a liability.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, at least they've got him listed as a winger, so. That's a small
that's the good thing.
He won't be called upon to play that role very often.
Yeah, thank goodness. But even so, if he's slotted for the penalty kill, yeah, sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
But so they re-signed Mojo, which could have done a lot worse again,
but you know what? Again, he's probably filler because you know Wilson's going to be out a fair amount of the season. Snively may or may not be ready because he's still young, but so maybe he's just filler. But you
maybe.
Know what? What really is upsetting me? They've got Sherry listed at third line as a third line wing, and I think Sherry needs to be up on the second line. But that's a whole different story.
Well, I saw somewhere where they had him on the top line. It was a couple of months
ago.
Not
the one I'm looking. Yeah, I'm looking at has Ovi, Brown, and then third and fourth would be Sherry McMichael, Borgstrom, and Hags. So.
Yeah. We'll see how that shakes out, but
I mean none of this. We all know this isn't set in stone. This is
no, it's not.
Page. And, you know, so which will bring us to, well, and well, the other re-signing, the other big one is Matt Irwin. And I really liked him last year. I think he did a really good job last year.
I think he fits well. He fits well in the system. He he can shoot and he can move the puck. I think he's a pretty good fit.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. He and Gustafson, maybe he and Gustafson will be switching time around. I don't know. And then you guys touched on the Fairbury Carlson pairing. Ugh. Poor Martin. Poor Marty.
Well, so now that we broach that, where would you put Ferravari? Ideally.
Honestly, I'd like to see him with Jensen, honestly. I think because they both have speed, they both have puck control, they both, and I would like, I mean, again, I'm not I don't even pretend to be a GM or a coach, but I would like, but I, you know, if what you got ain't working, try something else. And since Orlov, I mean, actually, what I'd really like to see him is with Orlov, but they both play the same side, so that would be a problem. So I would like to switch them up. I'd like to see Ferravari with Jensen and Carlson with Orlov, just to see what they would do. Or even Ferravari with TVR. But again, Ferravari, TVR, and Orlov all play on the same side, so it would be kind of a difficult for one of them to switch around.
Yeah, let me just slip this in here. Thank God for TVR. Thank God we still have him.
Oh yes.
Or else we would really be up Schitt's Creek as far as the decor.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding on that third line, on that third pairing for defense.
Yeah.
We would really, you're right. They actually have TVR and Irwin switching up on the left side with Gustafson on the right. So now that's, yeah, we're very thin on defense. We have wingers out the wazoo, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 7 defensemen. That's it. 7.
Yeah. And well, so something Jake and I discussed was the fact that they might have kind of ducked the market for defensemen because they're kind of hoping that one of the two younger guys waiting in the wings might be able to step up and earn a
spot.
Right.
Alexeyev and Johansson, right. Yeah. Right. Which also leads me to wing. If you've got AJF and LaPierre waiting in the wings, what the hell are you doing with Connor Brown? Either one of those is better than him.
Exactly. AJF, I think, has earned a spot. If you weren't going to keep Johan Larson, which I don't understand that.
AJF is a third or fourth liner. He really is. And he's good. Yeah. He's not first, second, but he's definitely 3-4 line.
Right. He's not going to give you the physical play, but
no.
he's a damn good skater. He's a damn good skater. And he
took you a minute to get that, didn't it?
Puck.
Like I said,
what's that?
It's pretty. He sure is pretty.
he's got the flow, as they say.
Yeah.
I don't mean
literally pretty. I mean, he actually is pretty. He gets the job done. He's very good at what he does. So, you know, I'm a little disappointed not to see him on here, but I think he's still got that two-way contract. So we might see him. We might see him come up for a few more games this year. At least I hope we do.
I definitely think he.
I'd like to see LaPierre come up a few more games too.
I think you'll see LaPierre do a quick tour of duty here and there.
Yeah. Which this kind of segues me into this whole coaching thing, because one thing I noticed about LaViolette last year, he is very, how shall I put this?
Reluctant.
For life. Yeah, I guess that's a good word, to play the young guys. We played our best hockey at the beginning of the season when Nikki and Oshie and we're not playing as much. We played our best hockey when the young guns were in. As soon as the older guys came back, LaViolette's like, we got to play the old guys, and they started focusing on that record, it all went to shit.
Well,
and in my opinion, and that's what I have, that's what I saw.
And now, the again, only, well, I would counter that with the fact that not all of it, but a lot of the early season success had to do with Ovechkin going on a tear and getting 30 yeah. plus goals before yeah. the oh, first half of the yeah. season
oh,
was
I'm not,
over.
I'm not taking anything away from that, but I think having the younger guys on the ice motivated him more because now he's got something to prove. Hey, I can still keep up with these guys. As soon as his buddies were back on the ice, he slowed down a little bit.
There, I would say there's quite a bit of truth to that. I would not argue that at all. That there's some truth to that, I would say. But I'm also of the mindset that ice time is earned. And
I don't disagree with that. Earn it if you're not trying. Earn it if you're not playing.
I understand that.
And this is what happened to Sprong last year. I think he earned ice time. Laviolette just wouldn't give it to him. And I don't know why, because he didn't fit the mold. And that's where I think this dynamic between Laviolette and Scott Allen, it's going to be very interesting to see how they deal with each other, because Allen has coached these younger guys for years. You know, some of them 3-4 years, 2-4 years. And now they're coming up into the big leagues with him, so to speak. It's going to be really interesting to see how that dynamic works, because I get the impression Allen's more of a risk taker than Laviolette is.
Yeah, that's going to be.
He's willing, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how Allen deals with Forsyth and the power play.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting kind of sidebar story. See how I don't think they've ever worked with each other before, and
mm-mm.
Yeah, they're going to have there might be. I don't want to turn this into a potential soap opera, but there might be there might end up being some friction there, and
mm-hmm.
Everybody knows this is the last year of Laviolette's contract, so
mm-hmm. I'm wondering if they're bringing Allen up because he did so well in Hershey.
Well,
they might be grooming him.
Well,
I'm not even sure after a year. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he does this year. I don't know if he's NHL ready as a head coach, but we'll see.
Yeah,
I think we need a coach that's going to take a few more chances on the younger guys, especially if we are – because our core – I mean, you look at our core. Oshie's what, 33, 34? 36. Ovi's 35, 36. Nikki's 30-something. Carlson's 32, 34. You know, Orlov's getting up there. Kuzi just turned 30. Wilson's 29. So our core average age is right around 30, 31. So they're not, you know, so it's time. And people don't want to see the great ones go, but eventually they got to make room. And you've got to give the younger guys a chance. Now, I'm not saying dump everybody like Chicago's doing, but, you know, you've got to give your younger guys a chance if you want to start rebuilding your team and getting beyond the first round. And speaking of which, I am of a mind with Jacob on that. I think we will actually maybe get out of the first round this year with this team, but it's still going to be a year or two before we actually hoist the cup again, I think.
Yeah, I would like to be optimistic in that regard, but I don't think, you know what, I'm just going to lay it out right now. I do not think the Caps will return to any sort of playoff, long-term or high-level playoff success, say, you know, conference finals or better,
mm-hmm.
until they get rid of John Carlson. I'm just going to lay that out. They're not going to have, I hope I'm wrong, I'll be glad I'm wrong if I'm wrong, but until they get rid of him, I don't think it'll happen. I just don't see it. And I'm not just basing this on what happened in the most recent playoff series.
Right. This is a history.
This is his whole, I mean, this is what you saw in the playoffs is how he's been this whole time. It's just more people mm-hmm. saw it. Now.
Yeah. I think he's almost, there's times it's like he's almost forgotten how to play defense because, I mean, over the last, I've noticed it over the last 2 or 3 years, he has just become a lot more offensive minded, but it's to the detriment of the team because you get, like, on the power play, you get him missing those pucks that are coming to him at the point and they get past him. You get him, you know, caught behind the puck, behind the play. And I don't know how much, you know, because he's just, I think he's just, and I, you know, kind of said half jokingly last year, put him on wing just to see what he'll do, right? But no, I'm inclined to agree with you on that. I mean, I wouldn't pin 100% of it on Carlson, but I do think that's a large part of what's happening is I think we need a stronger defense. I mean, you've only got 7 defensemen, and you've got Alexiev and Lucas Johansson in the wings. But who do we have after that?
Yeah, not a whole lot in the pipeline. I really think it's time to move on from him, and not because mm-hmm. and not just because his skills are beginning to decline. Not just because that contract is a ridiculous, awful contract, but because, and this is what I said when I first proposed it 2 years ago. He represents that old culture in the Ovi's first days where it's the lazy, slow hockey that.
Yep.
You know, take it easy, no rush with the puck. Don't play any defense. He's a remnant. He's a leftover remnant of that culture. Right. And you can't do that anymore.
Teams are younger and faster. And yeah, no, it just doesn't work that way anymore.
No. And in today's NHL, your defensemen have to be physical to an extent, but above all, can skate and be quick.
Right. Yeah. And maybe that's, I mean, again, I don't know anything about Gustafson. Maybe he can skate and maybe he's quick. I don't know. But you know, you were talking about the PIM. You know, sometimes you want a defenseman that's got a little higher PIM because maybe that means he's making those quote-unquote smart penalties, you know, throwing his body in the way when he needs to in spite, you know, and Carlson doesn't do that as much. You know, some of the guys are so intent on avoiding the box. It's like you've got to sometimes make those penalties to save the game, you know?
Right. And no, we definitely don't need another soft covered defenseman who is not going to take the body, is going to overly rely on the poke check. And that's another
you know, thing that Carlson is, I hate poke check.
Yeah, a bit of a history lesson here. When Orlov first came up, that was his problem. He tried to play the puck too much, and he relied on his stick work too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then he learned, okay, you know what? I'm stable on my skates. I can take the body. And he started doing when he started doing that. That's when he started getting better.
Oh yeah, I love Orlov. I've seen the potential in Orlov from the beginning, yeah. But Carlson just hasn't changed over the years. He just hasn't. It's like he hasn't changed with the times. He's just playing his game of hockey, and it's just not working anymore.
Yeah, it's not. And what's worse is the fact that, you know, I hate to keep on bringing it back to coaching, but the scheme that they have now relies a lot on mm-hmm. on the defense doing their job in not only keeping the puck, but being quick right. enough to stay in position. And yep. if your number Agreed. One guy, if your number one guy is playing 25, 26, 27 minutes a night and is probably one of your worst skaters.
Yeah. That's the problem.
A big pile of no good. Awful, yeah. awful mess you got on your hands there because it ain't going to work. And, you know, I know I've talked about it to death, but, you know.
Yeah, we all have.
It's, I mean, if he either doesn't accept a reduced role or doesn't somehow get better, I don't see how yeah. this team as a whole gets better because,
no.
you know, he's the guy leading your team in ice time. He's the guy yep. that's most often out there in all types of situations. So what does that translate into? You know, what you saw in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But that's enough. That's enough bashing Carlson for now.
Yeah, it's okay, Mira. I also like the guy. I mean, he's good at when he does what he does, he's good at it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, he's still an effective power play quarterback. He's still yeah. effective at moving the puck. But right. other than that, and unfortunately, even that's starting to decline now.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, again, it happens when you get to your 30s and you slow down a little bit. As much as you may not want to admit it, you slow down. Of course, the Ovi continues to defy. But that's a whole different. That's
well,
another podcast.
Let's pray that he continues to because that might be
yeah.
Like last year, that might be right. what carries them for a while.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, and you were talking about things that I would change. Number one thing I would change is stop force feeding Ovi on the power play. That's the number one thing I would change. Because everybody knows that's what we're doing. And, you know, mix it up. Maybe start the second power play unit, not the first power play unit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody says you have to put your first power play unit out first, right? So depending
right.
on
and
the
you
team.
Get, yeah, you get the right to change lines.
Uh-huh.
The offending team has to keep whoever was on the ice out there, but you can change
right.
the line. But so,
right.
yeah, you're right. You don't have
There's
to.
There's nothing that says we have to start our first power play unit. We can start whoever we want on the power play. Yeah, penalty kill, you're kind of screwed. You have to start whoever's out there. You're right.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you can't change, you know, 30 seconds in, you can't change, right? Or 10 seconds in. Once the play starts, you can change the line however, whenever you want.
Right.
But you have to start with the players on the ice. But that's probably the number one thing I would do. Do something with the power play. I don't even care if you put Ovi in a different position and force feed it to him. But they know he's going to be in his office. They know he's going to be standing there waiting for the puck. I mean, I've watched this power play for 30-odd games in person last year. And damn it, if Ovi didn't stand in that circle the entire friggin' power play. It's like, they know he's there. They know you want to get it to him. They're going to do everything they can to stop you from getting it to him. So you got to find other ways to score on the power play, people.
Yeah, and I think you and I talked about this.
And toward the end of the season, you could see him sort of starting to change it, but... Yeah.
You and I might have talked about this before, but if Backstrom comes back this year at all,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be best to ease him in by making him a power play specialist.
Yes, I agree completely. He's not going to be ready for full on duty at all. But I would definitely start him, ease him in on the power play for sure. That's probably a good place for him to start.
Yeah. I would definitely say so.
Because at most, at most on a on any given shift, he'd be out there maybe a minute at most.
Right.
Depending, you know. So you figure an average of, well, the way they call against us, 10 penalties in a game. I don't know. Well, I don't know. He may not get a lot of power play. Well, yeah, the way they call against us, he might get, you know, 3 minutes in a game.
Yeah.
On the power play, but that's a whole, that is also another podcast.
Yeah.
we could talk for hours on that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
power play alone.
But given, I mean, all in all, like I said, a good solid B. Maybe, you know, for the moves they've made in the offseason. We did miss, I think, a couple of the one opportunity I would have liked to have seen that we missed on defense was the guy from Dallas. And I think he went to where did he go?
Oh, I know where you're going with this, and I was kind of hoping you'd go over some missed calls like Jake did. I know who you're talking about. I didn't mention his name, but
I would really like to have seen him come here. I think he would have been. I think that would have been a good thing.
That would have been very nice. He's. I know who you're talking about. I won't mention his name, but yeah, he's.
No.
He would have been. He would have been a younger, more mobile John Carlson, and he would have been just what the doctor ordered. But wasn't to be.
No, I don't. I think part of it was I'm not sure we could have afforded him.
No,
I don't think we could afford him, and that's it. There were some rumblings about wanting a certain Colorado Avalanche player to come over here, but I don't think we need that drama.
I don't. Yeah. We don't. And, I know who you're talking about
because,
there too. And yeah,
because he's actually really good.
Well, he is, but the problem with that guy is he's got more baggage than 10 airport terminals.
Right. Well, I'd rather have him over a certain Edmonton Oiler. Is that who I'm thinking of? Is it the Edmonton
Oilers?
Yeah.
He's still with Edmonton.
No. Yeah. I know. I'd rather have the guy from Colorado over the one in Edmonton.
I wouldn't want either one of them.
Well, yes, in truth, I wouldn't. But if I had to choose, I would take the one over the other, but
I don't think that would turn into locker room cancer really fast.
Oh yeah, it would be a massive. Yeah, no, we don't need that drama. But yeah, that one defensive guy, I really would have liked to see him come along, but again. But like you said, maybe they're holding out for Alexiev and Lucas Johansson. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I think what they're going to end up doing is hoping one of those two come up, and between so your top five are in no particular order: Carlson, Fedavari, and Jensen
Orlov.
And Orlov. On that pairing and TVR. So there's your top five. So to fill the final slot, you've got a hodgepodge of Matt Irwin, Gustafson, the new guy, maybe one of the two kids. And I think for that last spot, you're going to see all of those guys kind of try to fill
They'll
the 6-7
around.
Spot for the whole year. See who sticks.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And I do think, all in all, again, pretty solid. Like I said, Brown is really the one that I'm a little concerned about because he just doesn't.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one because, yeah, I, We traded a second round pick.
A second
round pick for a career bottom six forward.
Mm-hmm. At what did you say? 3.6?
3.6. He's going to be making more than Dylan Strome next year.
Yeah. And he's making more than Sammy would have made as a backup. I think Sammy was
exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I get it wasn't a contract that our management created, but it's one that they did agree to by getting this guy.
Yeah, that is a contract that makes zero sense.
No salary retaining, no nothing like that. The whole thing. They took the whole thing.
Yep, hook, line, and sinker.
Yep.
And where'd we get him from? Ottawa.
Ottawa.
No. Ottawa, yeah, they're probably laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh yeah. They're stocking up on draft picks, and they're already getting better, but they're stocking up on draft picks too. They're laughing.
Calgary's doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing, and you know they realize they're going to get worse before they get better because of all they've had to give up. But
I don't see us. Carlson's got three years now left on his contract, right?
Four, I think.
Is it four? Okay.
Yeah, it's because it was 4 years ago. Yeah, because he signed his contract after the cup-winning year.
That's right.
So he's now halfway through that contract. He's got 4 years left.
4 years. Yeah, so he's got 4 years left. If we can trade – that's good. Trade deadline's going to be really interesting this year.
Yeah, that is. That is. And, that's going to be a hot-button topic come March. But mm-hmm. – Yeah, that's the Caps are going to have a lot of choices to make depending upon the standings, where they're at in the standings. I would like to see them be in a good enough position where they don't have to do anything at all, but we're going to have to see. We got a little bit of time. Got to be a little bit more time left. Did you?
That's unusual.
Was there anything else, any other misses, anything you would have liked to see done with this team?
I don't know if there's much more we could have done given the cap space. I think we did the best we could with what we have. I mean, because we can't even officially put Nikki on long-term injury until the season starts, right?
Until opening night.
Right. So given what we have now, I think we've done the best we can. If Nikki stays on LTIR, that will open up maybe some space at the trade deadline. I think we're going to have to do something at the trade line one way or the other, because especially with the lack of defense, depth, not necessarily performance, but just the lack of depth at defense right now. I mean, seven on the roster and two in the wings, and neither one of those two has really played much. Alexiev played a couple games with us, didn't he?
I think he did.
I don't think, but Lucas Johansson didn't. So, you know.
Actually, I think it was the other way around. I think it's the other way around. Johansson made it up for a couple of games, and I don't know that Alexiev has been with the big club yet.
Okay, I'll have to look that up, but you might be right. But either way, neither one of them has a lot of experience.
No.
I think we almost are gonna have to make some kind of trade at defense come the deadline. But given what we have in terms of cap space right now, I think we've done the best we can with what we have. With the exception maybe of Brown, but you know, maybe he'll surprise us. Who knows?
Well, yeah, maybe so, but I'm not counting on it. I wouldn't, as they say, bet the double white on it for damn sure.
No, not at all.
All right. Well,
not at all.
Yeah. I think this is probably a good place to stop then. We've,
Alrighty.
You know, you've given us a great evaluation from a different point of view. And you know,
I don't even pretend to understand the stats. I just...
Well, not everything is, well, I try to be something of a numbers guy, but this is why I like having, you know, so many different points of view. Because not everything is numbers, but and you know, we talked about this just before we went on the air. A lot of it is team chemistry, and you know that's your point of view here, and that's, you know, that plays a big role in it. And I think, you know, a guy like a Dylan Strome is going to be good for that, and a guy like a Charlie Lindgren is also going to be good for that. You know, you mentioned he came from St. Louis, where they, you know, they have pretty good bond there. So, you know, that's some valuable information there, valuable intel that, you know, I think this team is going to hopefully use for the betterment. That's why. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, and over, you know, even since before 2018. I can think of very few years that this team has had bad chemistry. They haven't always had winning years, but the team chemistry on this team, is just like out of this world good. You know, I don't remember very many seasons where there was a lot of bad chemistry. Now there may be conflict between, you know, the odd player, but as a whole, team chemistry, I think, has been very good on this team for a lot of years. And I think that's part of the reason, even when they're not playing well, the fans are so, most of the fans, I've not, there are some exceptions, of course, but most of the fans stay loyal to this team. Yeah, we get frustrated and we get annoyed and we, you know, take our frustrations out. But a lot of the reason I stick with this team, even when they're having a bad year, is the chemistry is there. It's, you know, they have such good chemistry, and they, for the most part, they have times when they get lazy, and they all, you know, that happens to everybody. But I think that's a big part of why the fan base for this team is so loyal, even when they're not playing well, you know, and even when the stats aren't that good. I mean, you've got people, you know, you've got people like me. I absolutely fell flat on my face for Daniel Sprong. You know, he wasn't the best guy on the team, but I really liked him. You know, he just had that something that, you know, but.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate for a guy like that didn't work out, because, you know,
he got shafted.
Not to beat another story to death, but he was probably one of the better players from the offensive blue line in. And you can tell that, you know, he wanted so badly to, at the very least, get the puck on net, put his team ahead, get that goal to do right by his team. And that's why, you know, it hurts to see a guy like that go, because that's you know, but that's all he wanted to do. But he, everywhere else, it's just everywhere else, you know, he wasn't, you know, he
came up a bit short. Enough.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, and you're right.
You know what, that's a whole other podcast. We won't even go down that road right now. But, you know, but at the end of the day, I think our team has really good chemistry. I think the guys we picked up are not going to detract from that. I think they're going to fit in well. And I'm of the mind with Jacob. I think we might steal a few more games this year than we did last year, and we may make it a little further into the playoffs than we did last year. But again, like you said, I don't see us holding a cup. I don't see us lifting a cup for at least two more years.
Yeah, I can see the potential for a more successful, and you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you. You can't see me doing it, but I'm doing the air quotes with my fingers. More successful playoff run, but I'm not 100% sold, because I don't know that they have all the pieces to do that just yet, but it's there. It's a possibility, and, and it's there. And you know, as we've discussed for the last 5-10 minutes, the one thing that, you know, absolutely does not die with this team is the chemistry, and fortunately, you know, the core is still there, where that, you know, that's still a force, and that's, you know, that's going to help all of these new guys along in acclimating to the system. Right. So there is that. And that's why I'm more optimistic than I am pessimistic. I just, you know, I'm still a results guy, though, so I'm going to have to see what we've actually got play itself out on the ice. But it does look good. I do like that the front office overall made the effort to recognize that there were holes, there were fixes that need to be done with this roster, and they addressed them, like you said, with as best as they could with what resources they did have. So I am glad to see that, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, so they made one, I don't want to say horrible, we'll go with questionable decision. But at least they didn't make 5 questionable decisions, which has happened before.
Yeah, they could have gone a totally different direction, or they could have just done absolutely nothing, and both of those would have been pretty bad choices. But at least they made something of an attempt, and it was a pretty good attempt.
Yeah, I it'll be interesting to see how this season works out, and I'm actually more interested to see how the coaching dynamic works out when you've got, you know, this guy who's coached these younger guys for, you know, several years versus the old school, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I'm going to play it my way, coach.
Well, so. Now that I think about it, though, I think if there is the trust dynamic between those two actually works out, if these two guys actually end up bonding, he might end up being, you know, a confidant and lean on him and said, Lavia might lean on him and say, okay, well, what can this guy do for me if I have this situation? What are his strengths? And where can I play him?
Yep, and that's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. I'm really hoping that's what they're thinking, because Laviolette doesn't really know the guys in Hershey. So I think there's an advantage to having Scott Allen up, and hopefully they do bond like that. That's what I would really like. I mean, ideally, that's exactly what would happen.
Right.
And so if someone like Carlson gets hurt, because remember, these guys aren't getting any younger, you know, Nicky doesn't come back, Hags is unable to play, you've got someone who knows who's coming up the pipeline and might fit in, and we can fill that spot. So, keeping our fingers crossed, you know, sending the prayers to whatever gods or gods you worship. We'll have a good season this year, right?
Yeah. I was optimistic at the start of last season. You're gonna like what you see. So that hasn't left me. I think you're gonna like the effort that these guys put out. I think you're gonna see a lot, even if you don't see the younger guys get a shot. I think a lot of these newer guys, I think you're gonna like the effort they put out. You know, it's going to be a lot of entertaining hockey to watch, at the very least. I think there will definitely be that. I would be very surprised if come mid-April they're still, you know, they're not in it as far as, you know, a solid playoff spot, if not fighting for a bottom three spot. I think barring a disaster, they'll be in it. In that part of it. So I'm not pessimistic. I just need to see it play out I can, you know, make a final judgment. But it looks good. So far it looks good for the most part.
Yeah, well, my goal is to try and get down to a few more practices this year, so I don't know. I'm not gonna get to as many games this year. Didn't renew the season tickets this year, unfortunately. Wasn't able to do that, but I'm going to get to the games I can. Going to get to whatever games I can, and going to try and get down to a few more practices because those at least are free. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Gonna try this year. But it was fun getting down to a few games last year, but yeah, gonna try this year, but yeah, I can't promise anything either. Things being the way they are. And that's another conversation for, some other group of people, not me, not my job.
Yeah. So, right.
Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and stop it here for another episode. Cheryl Ann, thanks so much for coming on as you always do.
Great
conversation, great information and judgments. And we'll never lack for talking points from you for sure. And you're like I said at the end of last year, you're definitely one of the folks that makes this show really go. So thanks again for giving us your time.
Oh, so. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. And we'll definitely have you on later in the season, at least once or twice. All right. So we're going to stop it here and just going to say we still have an open invitation for any time between now and the beginning of the season for anyone else that wants to be an armchair GM and give their assessment of what the front office has done so far. And what should be done and whatnot. But for now, we're gonna call it an episode. So for Cheryl Ann Forster, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that the difference between beer nuts and deer nuts. Beer nuts are $1.50 a pound. Deer nuts are under a buck.
Oh, dear Lord. You are not wrong.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps. Oh, my God.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.